once more to the lake. Summertime, oh summertime, pattern of life indelible, the fade-proof lake, the woods unshatterable, the pasture with the sweet fern and the juniper forever and ever, summer without end. This was the background, and the life along the shore was the design, the cottages with their innocent and tranquil design, their tiny docks with the flagpole and the American flag floating against the white clouds and the blue sky, the little paths over the roots of the trees leading from camp to camp, and the paths leading back to the outhouses, and the can of lime for sprinkling, and at the souvenir counters at the store, the miniature birch bark canoes, and the postcards that showed things looking a little better than they looked. This was the American family at play, escaping the city heat, wondering whether the newcomers at the camp at the head of the cove were common or nice, wondering whether it was true that the people who drove up for Sunday dinner at the farmhouse were turned away because there wasn't enough chicken. It seemed to me, as I kept remembering all this, that those times and those summers had been infinitely precious and worth saving. There had been jollity and peace and goodness. The arriving, at the beginning of August, had been so big a business in itself, at the railway station, the farm wagon drawn up, the first smell of the pine-laden air, the first glimpse of the smiling farmer, and the great importance of the trunks and your father's enormous authority in such matters, and the feel of the wagon under you for the long 10-mile haul, and at the top of the last long hill, catching the first view of the lake after 11 months of not seeing this cherished body of water, the shouts and cries of the other campers when they saw you, and the trunks to be unpacked to give up their rich burdens.